We're going to get into the part 8 out of 9 parts today, so tomorrow we hope to finish. But we've gotten up through the Jews and the Greeks yesterday, and we're going to start off with a passage of Scripture. Now, some of you, or many of you, may have heard a argument against there being two sendings of Paul, because they say he was sent all at once in Acts 9, and there was no second sending. Well, we're going to read a passage of Scripture that includes both sendings, both events where from which he was sent, in one continuous context. So, well, let's start out in Acts 22, verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 22, I think. But you're going to see, I'll give you a preview, where there's going to be a break after verse 16. And starting with verse 17, you can see it's not the same place where that first sending was given. It's a second, a different place, a different sending. So let's start with Acts 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. So he was charged, he was like in a trial, so to speak, and he's making his defense. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spoke with me, that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. So we're up to verse 11 now. Not yet to verse 16 and 17, to that break there, but in verse 11, And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Verse 12, And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, and having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me, and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers, this is verse 14, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see the just one. So he actually saw Jesus. See the just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And that's, you you're aware that that's defined more in more detail in Acts 26, between 16, verse 16 and 20 or so. But, you know, thou shalt be witness unto all men. That's future tense. It was after Acts 20, verse 6, that Paul is on trial here or being questioned, and that he's reporting this. It was after he was sent to all men. So, thou shalt be his witness unto all men is what he was told prior to that. Well, both of these sendings were prior to when he to Acts 20, verse 6. So, continuing with the last in this section, Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So that's what Ananias said. That's not the voice of the Lord. That's what Ananias said. He said, arise. Ananias the Jew told Saul of Tarsus to be baptized, and additionally, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So baptism has nothing to do with washing away sins here in this verse. It's the calling on the name of the Lord that has to do with the washing away of sins. In Ananias' mind, that was all Ananias' words. And that was Paul's early Damascus Road revelation and salvation that you can read about in Acts 9, verses 3 through 20. Acts 9, 3 to 20 tells that what we just read. That which we just read. What follows at this point in Acts 22, where we're reading now, is Christ's later revelation to Paul. It was later. It was not on the road to Damascus. It was in the Jerusalem temple. And it occurred in Acts 18:22. I should say it most probably occurred then. There's no other, you know, it would have to be something outside of Scripture for it to be at some other point. And it's told about by Paul in these next verses we're going to read. Let's read it. Acts 22:17, and we'll read through 22. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So there's an alarming statement. You know, get up and get going. Get out of here. They're after you. They're right behind you. You know, he says, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Don't tell them about it now. I want you to go. All right, so Acts 22:19, and I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. So he puts up a mild argument there, and the Lord said, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. This is after his sending in Acts 9, that you can read about in Acts 26, 16 to 20 or so. This is after that. The Lord tells Paul, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Far hence. Not to the Jews and kings and Gentiles. Not to the Gentiles, kings and Jews. But far hence unto the Gentiles, which includes kings and includes Jews at this point. They're already a fallen nation, and the Lord is seeking those that you know that would be a remnant out of Israel, according to the election of grace or the choice of grace. This gospel that Paul is teaching, but he's seeking individuals at that point, individual Jews, Jews that had lived through the period when. You know, as Peter said in Acts 4:12, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They were saved by believing that Jesus is the Christ, believing the name of Jesus. And instead of denying him and saying, no, let's put him on the cross. So they had to change their minds about him and believe that he was the Messiah. That was Peter's group. That was the little flock, the Church of God in Jerusalem. This is Paul, and there's a big difference. And Paul is sent to all men now. After Israel fell, and they were considered uncircumcision, according to, well, several places. Romans 2:25, Acts 7:51. They were the uncircumcision from that point on. So let's go a little further here. Did we read? I don't think we read Acts 22:22. Let me read 21 and then 22 together. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. There was a future sending yet to occur. Now he's reporting about it, but when he heard this was in Acts 18:22, so it was future from Acts 18:22. So back to Acts 22 in his defending himself against these accusations, verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth! It is not fit that he should live. So they were going to kill him for what the Lord told him, depart. What was it in 18? Let me find 18 here. Hold on. Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. The Lord told Paul that in Acts 18:22, and he left, went to Antioch, and went on a missionary journey, a so-called, a trip of evangelizing, and he came back to Jerusalem, and here they are not receiving Paul's testimony concerning Christ, that Christ told him to go to all men. So I hope you can see the difference there. There were two sendings, and that clearly shows they're not the same sending. The dispensation of the grace of God to all men, regardless of whether they had been Israelites or had been Gentiles, that's what is, we're at the point of the beginning of it here, and we can see it. And as you go, come along, now we said that happened at Acts 20, verse 6, that he was sent to all people, and that's verified by Philippians 4:15. We'll get into that in a little bit, but right now, as we travel in Acts past that Acts 20, verse 6 period, we see Paul summarizing it in verse 21, and we saw that yesterday. Actually, we probably should read that one additional verse, Acts 20, verse 21. And it says, testifying, this is a summary of his past dispensation of the gospel to the Jews and the Greeks. Jews and those Greeks that were Jew blessers coming to God under Israel's program, they were in those synagogues and they got to hear Paul preach the new pattern of salvation, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Change your mind about who this Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's the risen Messiah. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only repentance, changing your mind about who he is, but put your faith in him to save you on the basis that he died for your sins. Your sins are all died for already. All right, going on to verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Well, he did know some things, didn't he? But he didn't know how it was going to work out in Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to be sent far hence from there to he says in 2 Timothy 4:17, to all the Gentiles. But he says, behold, I go in the Spirit, bound in the Spirit, unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. Well, that Agabus showed up in, what was it, chapter 11 or 12, about the famine coming, and that was the first act of the church, the body of Christ, that's recorded, that they sent help to the church in Jerusalem during that famine. And here Agabus shows up again, taking the belt, you know, the girdle or the belt, and putting it around him and saying, so shall the Jews do with this man when he goes to Jerusalem. So Paul, talking about that, says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And, here's something else, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the first time that's mentioned. It's not mentioned in Acts 9 that Paul was sent with the grace of God to all people. That's what Titus 2 defines it as. Look at, I didn't put this in the verse list either, but Titus 2:11, I'll put it up there. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God, that's what it's talking about here, the gospel of the grace of God, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that's what the gospel does, the gospel of salvation does, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. By the time he wrote Titus, he had been sent to all men. But before that, you only hear about the gospel of Christ as a gospel of salvation. And that's defined in Romans 1, verse 16, differently than this. It's not the same recipients, not the same audience that Paul was sent to. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's not the rest of the Gentiles. The Greek is just those that blessed God in the synagogues, blessed Israel in the synagogues. So it's all Jews. It's all the Jewish gathering that Paul was sent to, the ones that had believed, even though their nation pulled the rug out from under them and crucified their Lord. So let me read the verse again. This, and we'll go on from there through this series of verses. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So I'll have to go back, and this is the gathering there at gathering of Jews come down from from Ephesus to Miletus, and I don't think he's before a king or a judge here in this where I was saying that he was before. I think this is just the gathering, starting in verse 22, 23, and 24. So let's continue with that in mind. I know that you all among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What was the counsel of God? What did God counsel Paul to declare to all those people before his second sending in Acts 20? He was sent to teach the Jews and the Greeks how to be saved and how to come to the knowledge of the truth. That was God's will. Well, after Acts 20, verse 6, when he was sent to all men, it was widened so that he was going to all men with this same information. And you find new revelations. There was progressive revelation, the abundance of revelations that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12:7. But he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's what he's calling the flock earlier in the verse. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God, the church of God, it's God's church. He purchased it with his own blood. God's blood is what dripped onto the ground under the cross. So, take heed. I missed something here. Let me get back and make sure I've got it. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the... There it is. Overseer is the word for bishop. What were the bishops assigned? To feed the flock. To feed the church of God. Physical food, because they had sold all to bring in the kingdom, and the Lord was providing for them. After the kingdom didn't come in, they had to sell everything, give it to the feet, put it at the feet of the apostles, and the apostles would distribute it according to their needs. Well, that ran out when the kingdom didn't arrive, and the Lord provided through the church of God, starting in Romans 11, verses 27. Acts 11, verses 27 to 30. You can see the beginning of that. And then four or five other places, Paul reiterates it. He calls it a debt. He calls it you owe it. What is the other term? There's another term he uses. But it's pretty strong. It's not a command, but it's strong that they should donate to that church of God in Jerusalem to keep them alive until they die of natural causes, through attrition, because they weren't adding to that number anymore. According to Galatians 2:9, they were only ministering to themselves, not evangelizing that Jewish church. So there's your definition of bishops, and Titus 1:5 and 1:7 show that bishops and elders are different names for the same people, to feed the church of God. That's where that position came from. They were to be exemplary men, and yes, that's the basis on which they were to be chosen, but they were chosen, and they're chosen for the purpose of, and their duty was to feed the church of God in Jerusalem, to transfer funds to them. So, for I know this, going on to verse 29, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years, remember he spent 3 years in Antioch, this is the Ephesian elders, he spent 3 years in Ephesus with the ones that had believed the gospel of God, teaching them the gospel of salvation to start with, but also how to come to the knowledge of the truth and to rightly divide. He taught them all this stuff, this valuable information. Excuse me. Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of God is able to build you up. Read it. Let God build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Well, Romans 8, 30, I think it is, says those that he justified, he sanctified. If you've believed and you're justified, you're sanctified. Let me just find the verse, make sure I'm giving you the right that's the right verse. Okay. Paul goes on in verse 33 of Acts 20, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. He built, you know, he made tents to cover his expenses so he wouldn't have to ask for funds from them. But he does preach that those who preach the word should live off of the word. Live, they should be donated to continue, just like those. I was going to say that the apostles in Acts 5 when they chose people to do the bread, but that's a little bit of a stretch as far as an analogy, so we'll leave that off. I have showed you all things how that so laboring, in other words, like he did, you ought to support the weak. In other words, don't be looking for a handout. Work to help those that, the weak is those ones that he mentioned up there. To all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's the name of the church in Jerusalem, the Jewish little flock church. You ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you want that blessing? There it is. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, that's different from I will bless them that bless thee. That's a different way to get a blessing. In, you know, when you get to Paul's gospel. Verse 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So Christ then, you know, later on, a little later, Christ reassured Paul that he is still in God's will, and he is still going to all men. Look at Acts 23, verse 11. Acts 23, verse 11. And the night following the Lord... Now, this is not the night following that leaving of Ephesus. This is a couple chapters later here. About three chapters later. He says, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome. Now, there's more of ascending to kings than you get in Acts 9, verse 15. Acts 9, verse 15 is notification that he is going to be sent to kings. It's not ascending. Just like it's not ascending to all Gentiles, just telling him that he's going to bear Christ's name before Gentiles there in Acts 9, 15. Paul had to wait. He wasn't sent, and he didn't write to all Gentiles until, I hope there's sound, until he was sent in Acts 20, verse 6. Before that, he was going to the Jew first and also to the Greek, that small segment of Gentiles that blessed Israel, blessed God, feared the God of Abraham, and met with Israel in the synagogue. So, the Lord tells him, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. So, the gospel of the grace of God we're getting into here, it's not any longer the gospel of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or the gospel of Christ. We're getting out of a dispensation of the gospel, which is the gospel of Christ, into a dispensation of the grace of God to all men. So let's look and see what the scripture says here. Let's look in Ephesians, and we're seeing a link here. Paul links the gospel that was believed as the gospel of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel. He links that with the gospel of the grace of God that's taught in the dispensation of the grace of God. And so we see that in Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. See the connection. That we, Paul talking about those Ephesians that he ministered to in Acts with the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's talking to those Jews and Greeks in that phrase as we should be to the praise of glory. How do we know it's to the Jews and Greeks? Because the last clause in the sentence there, who first trusted in Christ. They were the first. Acts comes before post-Acts. I guess that makes sense. But he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also, in other words, you Ephesians that I just heard of, and he goes on two verses later to say he had just heard of them in verse 15, but he says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, they believed, he's not saying anything about a different message of salvation. They trusted it first in Acts, and now these people that he heard of later and wrote to in the book of Ephesians, they heard it later and believed it. It's the same message, though. So when you read in Paul's Acts epistles how to be saved, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-6, 1-4, however you read it, it applies as much to us today as it did in Acts 13 when Paul started preaching it, as far as we know. Well, started being sent to preach it. He apparently preached it in Acts 11, 25 also, that whole year that he spent teaching the church there in Antioch. They started out being called disciples, like the Church of God in Jerusalem. And after that year of hearing Paul preach the gospel to them of salvation, they were called Christians. First time anybody was called Christians. So the gospel that people are saved by today is the gospel that was preached in the Acts period too. That's 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read it here, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. So he had gone to Ephesus and preached it to them, and here he's declaring it again, which also you have received, wherein you stand, talking about this gospel, and it's by which also you are saved. So he's talking about the gospel of salvation, not just a gospel of good news about who Jesus is, but it's the gospel of Christ, how to be saved, you know, how God designates for us to be saved by believing. Well, let's go on and see what we have to believe. It says, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. So it doesn't help you to keep in memory what Peter preached. Or James preaches in James 2:24. That doesn't help you. That's for Israel. Look at James 1:1. It's to Israel. What helps us is to keep in memory what Paul preached, what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. So don't believe in vain. Believe Paul's gospel. And here it is. What to believe? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So his death was, now he's talking to Jews here, Jews and former Jews and Greeks being in the Acts period, and that's why it says according to the scriptures, because Isaiah 53:10-12 says that he did bear Israel's sins, but we're not Israel. But that's why we went through Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13 before, because that shows that it applies to us too. You can take off that according to the scriptures, because we're not prophesied in Isaiah or Psalms anywhere in the Old Testament that old, you know, dirty dog Gentiles like us that never blessed Israel or cared about the Sabbath, like these people that he was writing to in Ephesus, that they could be saved by the same gospel, by believing that Christ died for their sins too. That was a new revelation to Paul. That was, nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was saved by that new revelation, that new pattern of salvation that the Lord set up when he saved Paul in Acts 9 on the road to Golgotha. All right. So in later writings, we can see that the gospel is not just to Jews and Greeks anymore. It's no longer a Jewish gospel. It's a gospel to all people. The mystery of Christ was when Christ, after having died on the cross and offered the kingdom to Israel, he went back to heaven. He ascended to heaven. And that's not the mystery. But the mystery is that he sent word back to Paul that there's a new way to be saved, a new pattern. It's called a pattern in 1 Timothy 1:15-16. The pattern that you're saved by believing that Christ died for your sins. Your sins are all died for. Even that unforgivable sin that Paul committed there, stoning Holy Ghost-filled Stephen, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. That sin Christ died for in 33 AD on the cross too. And that was new and different. So, well, let's see some of these later readings, writings of Paul that show that it is to all people, not just to the Jews and Greeks during that calling out of the remnant according to the election of grace in a dispensation of the gospel. Here later, in a dispensation of the grace of God, we see in Titus 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, God promised before the world began, but hath in due times, there it is, later on, not at the crucifixion, not in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, but in due times hath manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, Paul said, according to the commandment of God our Savior. So the mystery of Christ was sent back to earth later from heaven, from Christ in heaven, to Paul for us, mystery being it hadn't been told before. Instead of being the gospel of the kingdom, it's now the gospel that you're saved by believing that Christ died for your sins. Anybody can be. It was kept a secret until it was revealed to Paul, according to 1 Corinthians 2:6-8. Well, 6 to the end of the chapter, actually. So, after Paul wrote that beginning of his letter there to Titus, in Titus 2:11, he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath," or you could say hath now, "appeared to all men." It hath appeared to all men. Wherefore, before that, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy, and we'll close with this series of verses in 2 Timothy here. Thank you for your patience with this lesson, but 2 Timothy 1:8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," what the Lord testified to me, "nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, when did Jesus Christ appear to Paul? Was it in Galilee? Was it on the roads there and around Jerusalem and Bethany? And Emmaus? No. That's not when the Lord appeared to Paul that he's talking about. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus with this new pattern of salvation, by which he saved him at that point there, when he believed, in verse 6, Acts 9:6. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel, keep in memory the gospel, keep in memory what I preached unto you, Paul's gospel. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher. And you can apply that last phrase to all of this. A preacher of the Gentiles, an apostle of the Gentiles, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul committed his salvation to the Lord. He didn't have any choice, did he? He knew he would either be struck down, struck dead for committing the unforgivable sin and having no more future on earth, or else he would receive that Christ died for his sins. And he did that in verse, Acts 9, verse 6. So, I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And he goes on with words for us to close with. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And he rightly divides there between what he preaches and what Paul preaches, or Jude, or James, Matthew, John. They're all the 12. Paul is a different apostle in a different agency of God, the body of Christ. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm done. Time for comments, questions, clarifications.